I don't know. Were they good? They're okay.
Were they okay? I want to see them. All right. I must see them.
I blame Maroon.
Well, yeah, because he took them.
Talking about our sweet ass pictures. We just had a photo sesh.
It was a serious photo sesh.
Just for Thrasher.
Yeah, Thrasher's doing a full 80 spread. I'm checking out the pictures now. I inadvertently pushed.
It's a mall grabber issue.
It is. Trying to bring back the mall grab. There's some good shit here.
Good.
These are good.
Did you see that the Wikipedia for posers has been updated?
Yes.
No. For posers,
yes.
Too?
Mm-hmm.
What's that? What does it say now?
It says it talks about all the different subsets of posers, like goth posers and like punk posers and skate posers.
Uh-huh.
And it talks about how mall grabbing is looked down upon in the skating community. But they're recently a very famous podcast.
Very famous and sold out podcast.
Yes. Has been attesting that the mall grab is the one true proper way to hold a skateboard.
Oh, I love this picture. I wish Tyler wasn't in the show so we could just use it. Because there's a great picture of Mike and I, but Tyler's not in it. So
why am I not in it?
I don't know, but we need to work on maybe making you not part of the
it's
show.
Probably the photographer's fault.
We could use that picture.
It wasn't Rune. This one wasn't Rune.
Oh.
We had another photo sesh out front right before the Super program. And we employed the efforts of our very good, nice security guard, who turns out not a good photographer. Mm. Hey, for Christmas, Mike,
give him a camera.
We should get Tyler, our friend Tyler, an iPhone.
You know what? That would make all of our lives better.
It really would.
How would you feel about that?
It really wouldn't, though. Everywhere I work, I have zero phone signal. So,
who's your carrier right now?
Oh, no, we're not doing this. We're not doing this!
Stay tuned, folks. At the end of this episode, I will reveal who my cell carrier is.
We all know it's Cricket. Come on. We don't need to go down that road.
Dude, I use Boost.
All right, bro. Where you at?
December 22nd. I know where we're going to be.
Okay, we're not doing that yet.
Nice
segue. The Improv in Brea, California. Tickets are on sale now. They're only $10.
I think everyone who's heard this,
I think we need to remind them. It's a month away. It's a month away.
So quick little story before we get into it here, kids. Last night.
It's a month from tonight.
Is it really?
Well, it's the 22nd, but it's four Mondays from tonight.
Oh, Jesus.
That's crazy.
We better get...
we are not ready.
That's crazy.
Practicing on our half pipe. The latest news is Mike wants to get a half pipe.
You know, I found three places that rent mini half pipes in Orange County.
Oh, before we move any further, I got to
go... Assemble it on the stage.
Super reasonable, I bet.
Quick, and I know that the chances of this are slim.
Not that much.
I know they're slim.
$200, $250.
Here's what I need. I hope someone who's hearing this here podcast enjoys the program, would also like to help me out, maybe make their dog semi-famous by having your dog in my short. I just finished shooting two-thirds, three-quarters of the fifth short of the year under Cold Cockle Banner, the most recent
That's Cold a good name banner. For that movie, the fifth short of the year.
It's called Everybody Dies, Mike, if you must know. Everybody Dies is the title of the...
Also, a.k.a. the fifth short of the year,
where
in parentheses.
Auditioning the actors for it about a month ago down at the studio that I was using.
Mm-hmm.
I show up. It's kind of cool. They have like the name of all the different productions that are auditioning that day. And I'm like, yeah, Anderson. I took the wife, took Jillian, right? She wanted to come with me. Pull up, and since I had put it all in the system, they had a cone out with my name on it. It said Anderson Cowan only. It's pretty sweet.
Wow.
Caught the wife.
What studio was that?
Caught the wife taking a picture. It's called Cazd Studios. C-A-Z-T.
In the valley or over here?
No, it's in Hollywood. And when I checked into the desk, there's a couple. They turned out to be really nice people, but they're a little bit grumbly in the morning. And they're like, I'm like, yeah, Anderson Cowan here checking in for Everybody Dies. We were wondering whose cheery title that was, what that person was going to look like. Everyone does die, though. That's just a fact.
Oh, anyway, they do?
So I can live without it, but I need a black Labrador dog, preferably a female. But if you have a black lab and you live like in the Los Angeles area, December 6th, I'm finishing this here short, and I need a black lab. Nothing major, just black lab is in the story.
Maybe you can rent one from the pound.
Possibly. So
yeah, you guys can just put it down when I'm done with it.
AndersonCowan.com, please email me over there, Anderson.
How big of a dog do you want?
At AndersonCowan.com. Well, it needs to match the one that was there. Did you see the one that was there?
That was a big one.
Yeah, okay. But labs are all kind of the same. Right.
That are you talking
Does
about?
That make me racist?
Derek's
that I think all black
dog?
Labs look the same. Yeah.
No, it makes you racist talking about it on such a dreary night for the good people of
Ferguson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Oh yeah. I guess we're gonna put this up in the near future here. Yeah.
So I don't think we should discuss it though.
No, I don't think we should either.
We didn't discuss the tsunami
tomorrow.
We didn't discuss the tsunami that was breaking out minutes before the show started.
So.
No, I think we did. I think we made really insensitive Godzilla jokes.
Possibly.
If I recall.
Possibly. I don't know. Us. But that's no one us. Will ever know because there's no record of it.
It's not us. We wouldn't do that. So last night, I'm returning all of the camera equipment. Mm-hmm. Shots of short over the weekend. Fantastic. Dean Cameron, who plays Chainsaw in the cult classic Summer School, was in my short. What a great guy Dean Cameron is.
Yeah.
Love that guy. He was awesome. He plays the boss. What a good guy. Just a sweet, sweet guy.
Jacob, was he the dude that showed up like right before I split?
No, he was the Malibu shoot. You weren't there for that. He was in the office in Malibu playing the office, playing the boss who's freaking out because the wrong dog was delivered to the wrong guy's apartment. Instead of the blind guy doesn't get his C&I dog delivered. He gets a nutcase dog delivered by the fuck-up courier. So that's the storyline there. And he's on the phone with his courier as well as the blind guy as well as telling his secretary how to deal with it. It's good
shit. I like that. I like
it. Fun. It was fun.
Yeah, I like that idea.
And Dean Cameron, a listener named Andrew said, "Hey, I heard you talking about Chainsaw on the Film Vault, and I actually know that guy. He's really cool. You should hit him up."
Cookie Chainsaw Randolph?
Nope. Different. You familiar with Summer School there, Tyler, or Ski School?
Am not.
He starred in Ski School, Dean Cameron.
No, I'm not familiar with either of those school related.
No, it's back. Rodney Dangerfield, Back to School. I know that one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. School of Rock. I know that one.
Right. Different. These are different movie.
Other than that, there was anymore.
So I drop off all the equipment by myself because I had to come straight here to Loveline.
How meticulous were they when they checked it in?
No one fills in for me anymore. There's no one who knows how to do my job in the universe who can fill in for me.
I almost offered yesterday for you to train me so I could fill in for you if it were an emergency, but I did that once at the Brea Improv, where we're going to be on the 22nd, actually. On New Year's Eve, they didn't have a sound guy, and I said, "I'll do it." And the manager went, "You going to commit to this?" And I went, "Why not?"
It takes like probably a week or two of training, so it'd be difficult.
And I sat in that sound booth for the most boring fucking show of all time.
What was it?
I'm not going to say.
No, you were on stage.
Speaking of boring shows, December 22nd.
Yep.
You're on stage $10. With us for the boringest show.
No, no, no.
So I drop off.
I will be on stage with you for the boringest show.
I drop off so we're like right up to that. We're at 9 o'clock. I promise everyone will be out of there at 7. Never goes on time. 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
We finally get the van packed with like probably $500,000 worth of equipment in this old shitty van.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of doing the smart thing, which is, hey, can someone give me a ride? Which actually I had a couple of people there offering to give me a ride to work. Then I would not have know how to get home. So I had to hop in the fucking van on empty, go over the hill. It's like 17 miles away to work with all the equipment in the back of my van.
You mean to this work?
To this work, last night, yes.
So the Panavision place is open 24?
So then after Loveline, I take that van with all the equipment over the hill again. Forgot to get gas, so I'm like just hoping that I don't break down or run out of gas. That you can call the...
That's a lot more pressure knowing you might run out of gas with somebody else's stuff in the back of a rental van.
You can call the security guard anytime. He comes out. He explains to me that he used to drive a milk truck and he used to be in a band in Chicago. And he goes on and on and, you know, talking my ear off as I'm loading literally 1,000 pounds of gear. You know, one case at a time up on this cart. And then I go home and here's where I'm building to. Desperately tired, right? I barely slept all weekend. You know, we just worked my balls off. Oh, I had to take the van back, drop it off, put my bike in the back of the van, ride my bike home from the rental place. Yeah. Four
that
in the morning.
Sounds the worst.
I'm like, the filmmaking is so glamorous.
How many miles was that?
About four.
That's too
at
much.
Four
to
in the morning.
Too much to skateboard at four.
Yeah, it was
in the morning.
Too much. I was thinking about skating. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know you had to do that stuff. I would have helped.
Yeah, it was in the middle of the night. I wouldn't have expected. I didn't want there was plenty of people who would have offered to help, but I didn't want to make them help. I didn't want to take advantage of people, and that would have been taking advantage.
All of those things would stress me out. Just the driving over the hill, running out of gas with the equipment in the back of the van, and then having to leave it in this parking lot while I was inside.
Dylan,
with the crack security team out there.
Dylan, Steve,
basically
Julian.
Basically watching a McLaren.
Trevor. All the people on my shoot were great. They were fantastic, mm-hmm. as they always are. Diana Vandekamp.
Yep.
Misty. Fantastic. So
I didn't see Misty.
She was there day one. A couple different crews, different people.
Got it.
So, get home. I got a new fish because I had to get a little beta for the film.
We have a beta in the office, too.
Betas are awesome. They're like dogs.
I don't know.
You go up to the tank.
Doesn't do anything. It just sits there.
Swims up. Maybe it's new. Once they get a little acclimated and they're familiar, they'll swim up. They'll say good morning to you. You feed them. They get all excited.
They'll say good morning?
Well, they, with their eyes. So, I'm looking at my new fish. It's a red one. I've never had a red one. I've had a green one and a blue one.
Yeah, we got a blue one. We got a blue one.
His name's Bob. Named him after the character because I got a shot where the boss is feeding the fish. And the boss's name was Bob. Dean's character was named Bob.
How'd you drive that fish to the office?
In the cup holder. In the cup holder, yeah. So I'm looking at him, and I'm pissed at this fish as I'm making myself dinner at like 4 in the morning. And I'm mad at this fish because he's scared. He's a little fish. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, what are you scared of? What are you doing? Come on. Come up to – every time he'd come to the surface –
use that common fish logic.
I'd go to feed him, and he'd, like, dart away. And I'm like, come on, dude. You're not a pussy fish, are you? I've had betas before. They're cool. Don't be, like, the scared
pussy fish.
And then I thought about it. Not only am I, like, you know, massive. I'm probably 1,000 times this fish's size and weight and stature and girth.
And you look nothing like him.
1,000? It's got to be more than 1,000.
Maybe 1,000. Maybe more. Yeah.
I'm sure it's more. What does he weigh?
I've never weighed
an ounce.
Seriously. I've never weighed
2 ounces.
That's a lot. Let's do the math on that. 160. I weigh 170.
Well, I think more than being the 1,000 times bigger than the fish. You're
cool
nothing like
him. Weighing 170.
You're nothing.
I was
like
just going to let it go. I want people to come to the live show.
I was like, you only weigh 170. That's great.
220. I weigh 220.
No, you don't.
Yes, 220. On a good day, a lot of time I weigh like I've been up to 250. Anyways, I'm not talking about that. So here's as I'm cooking my fish, I'm thinking. Not only am I massive,
wait, you're cooking your fish.
But I'm like cooking like one of his relatives.
Well,
as I'm cooking like
relative.
A slab of fish flesh. I was having a little swai, which is great fish, by the way. Swai, try it.
I had some swai fish and chips the other day. Super good.
Oh, it tastes like lobster.
Super good.
It does? I've never even heard of it.
Swai is where it's at. So, yes, I.
Where what's at?
Where the good taste is.
I've never even heard of this fish. Swai?
Yeah, I don't think it's a big seller because of the name. Part
it will give you a mouth boner.
It's like tilapia, but better. It's like tilapia, but good.
It's like sweet and buttery.
It's sweet and buttery and great.
Soft and
Swai
delicious.
It's where it's at.
How do you guys even know about this?
Because it's at Ralph's.
Because we're cultured men of culinary backgrounds.
The cultured man that you hear there is part of the program that is the After Disaster. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the After Disaster early edition this week because of the short Thanksgiving week that it is.
Yeah.
I am Anderson. That is Mike Carano to my left, and there's Ty Ty playing the applause. Cultured applause.
So I'm kind of worried about driving home tonight with riots.
Yeah, there's riots going on because it's
mini
fine.
Riots.
You can protest all you like, but stay off the freeways.
Yeah, but little Ty Ty has to get to the podcast.
Yep.
Can you imagine if I was trying to tell him, like, I have to get to a podcast?
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me.
We enjoy skating.
Some people say we're racist.
Oh, speaking of racist. The light's not good in here, right? Isn't that better?
You can do whatever you wish.
That's better?
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah, a pitch dark would be great, too.
So there was a joke. I don't even remember who said it, but there was a joke that was told on set on Saturday in Malibu. You weren't there. I think you'll like this joke, though. And I don't even know. You know what? It sounds racist, but once you think about it, it's not really racist. It's just true. It's
okay.
It's hilarious. Here's the joke.
Oh, God, I'm terrified.
Somebody says to another guy, I live in the Mexican part of L.A. It's pretty good. It's pretty funny. It's pretty true.
I don't know if it's that funny.
Is it racist? I live in the Mexican part of L.A. It's because all of my...
I don't know.
I'm not, like, offended by it. I just don't think it's that clever.
Yeah, that's I'm with him on that one, too. But I gotta
you
tell
you, both fuck yourself.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something right now.
Was it Anderson who said it on set?
No, I didn't say it. I swear to God.
I'm questioning my thinking and my taste lately, and especially because I've never gone to see movies more hyped, probably in the last 10 years, than Birdman or Whiplash.
You don't like either one?
Don't like either one.
I don't know if I like you.
I saw Birdman tonight, and I was like, I don't think that was a good movie.
What's wrong with you, Michael? What did you see it with your friend there, Tara?
Yeah.
Did she like it?
No.
Neither one of
she
you.
She loved Whiplash. She saw Whiplash the second time.
Or invited to the live show. I'm disinviting you.
Birdman.
I'm disgusted with you.
There's so many stories that he starts and never finishes. In fact, every story starts and never finishes. Oh, you're drinking again? I'm just having one beer. Okay, that story's gone. You just got out of rehab.
Got issues.
That story's gone.
He's got issues with drinking. They're giving you little tads and tidbits of his life.
Every single thing
How
of interest.
How many stories do you begin and never end?
Every single thing of interest in that movie that started never got resolved.
Mike's
or
life
up again.
Is a story that has begun and never ended.
I just didn't like it.
Should have been called Corona Man. Would you like it then?
I didn't think it was that good. And I think everyone on Facebook who just talks about how it's the greatest movie they've ever heard or seen and
I think you're in
how
a
it's
going to
win every maybe.
I think you're in a really weird
place.
But
I think they're just being pretentious.
No, I feel that way about a lot of movies, and this is not one of them. This is not one of them. This is a fucking amazing feat. Oh, I felt horrible saying that.
I thought the photography was great.
And the setups and the way that they got through those massive, massive blocking.
Oh, no, I thought that was brilliant.
Uncut scenes.
I thought that was brilliant.
What about where Ed Norton comes in and just does that whole, like.
That was good.
It was. Yeah. I've never seen acting that good.
That was good.
He's going in and out of it.
That was good.
It was fucking phenomenal.
I just.
The drums might have.
I think that movie was way, way, way too hyped.
All right. Disagree, but all right.
There's five or six huge premises that are brought up. I'm sorry to say this, but probably Gone Girl.
You like Gone Girl more than Birdman and Whiplash?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I can.
I liked Nightcrawler better than both of them too.
I feel like I'm talking to Brian Bishop right now. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I wasn't.
How you feel about? You know what you should do? Here's a good litmus test to see, make sure that your brain's not broken.
Might be broken.
Watch Transformers in the next like week.
I can't bring myself to do that.
No, maybe you'll like it, and then you'll know that your brain is definitely fucked.
Oh, you know what? You got a good point.
Yeah, you should do that. It's a little test.
Got a good point.
Oh, I'm depressed now, Ty Ty.
I was depressed too. I left Whiplash and I went, that was a bunch of bullshit. And she goes, that was an excellent. She goes, that's like a masterpiece. And I went, that's a bunch of bullshit.
Why was it a bunch of bullshit? You weren't like stressed?
I couldn't get incredibly stressed. Same with Birdman. I was on the edge of my seat the entire time.
What?
Mike's the guy that, remember, we've talked about this. He confuses that when a movie makes him elicit an emotional response, he's like, I don't like it.
The Whiplash.
That song is so great it makes me cry, so I hate it.
Oh no, Tara and I got into a fight about it. The night didn't end well because I was like, that was not good. And she's like, that one movie was great. She goes, it's a fantastic movie. I went, no, it's not. And I went, it's Hollywoodized.
Which one?
Music.
Which?
It's Disney looking.
Which
Whiplash.
Oh, well.
Like the bullshit, putting on the bandage, taking off the bandage, putting on the bandage, blood all over the. No person in their right mind, no matter how good they are, no matter how devoted they are, is going to keep playing while there's an open wound on their hand.
Yeah, they would.
That's gonna,
for
no
sure they would.
No fucking way. Something that's going to prevent you from playing for the next month. Blisters are different.
When I used to. Go ahead, Tyson.
Flea used to play till he had a hole in his thumb and he'd fill it with super glue and then keep playing.
It's not true.
This has nothing to do with music or anything, but this is absolutely true. I used to have an open wound on my thumb from lighting too many cigarettes when I did meth, and I would still light, and there'd be blood on the lighter.
I just didn't like. I didn't buy that.
That's just to light my cigarette. Because I'm stupid, too. I would use my left hand. I would just continue to do the
damage. Can you imagine Mike at, like, those panels where the press can yell out questions? What was the deal with them ripping off and on the bandage over and over again? I'd never do that. Oh, but would you like to talk about the main themes of the film?
Truthfully,
or?
I think it was a great movie, but I think my real problem with it was I didn't care. I didn't like any character.
What?
I didn't like the kid. I thought he was pretentious. I thought he was arrogant. I didn't appreciate.
You didn't like the dinner scene.
I hated the dinner scene, and I hated him. I hated him ever since.
You don't have to.
He
like
was a narcissist that thought he was the greatest thing ever, and
he wanted
thought
greatness.
He wanted to
he
be the greatest.
He appreciated greatness,
but he thought he was going to will himself into being a legend.
I guess so. In practice,
and of course,
he's dedicated.
The next time I see J.K. Simmons, hiking on the trail, I'm going to tell him how great it was.
Oh no! Why don't you tell him about the bandages? He actually might pay attention because everyone else, I'm sure, is licking his bald head right now.
I just didn't feel good after I left that movie, and
you're not supposed to necessarily.
I certainly
feel
didn't
good.
Feel good after I left Birdman.
How'd you like Requiem for a Dream?
Didn't see it.
You're gonna hate it.
Oh, I own it, so maybe I'll watch it someday.
You'll hate it one day.
I feel bad about this. I feel stupid sometimes, and I feel stupid.
Well,
especially.
You said it's a great movie, but you didn't enjoy it.
I do think it's a great movie,
Mike. Don't you know you're supposed to conform to society's opinions on films?
Don't see Foxcatcher. You'll hate that one.
Yeah,
yeah, brutal. You seen Foxcatcher? What are we doing? The film?
I'm just disappointed. Apparently. I'm disappointed because all I have heard about Birdman is clear-cut winner for best picture, best actor, best supporting actor, best this. And
I agree.
Like, okay, I'm freaked out going into this because it sounds too good. And 30 minutes in, I just went, I'm not into this. Like, I'm not into this movie.
Many, many movies get overhyped and they're kind of tainted as a result. And this could be one of them. But that's why you try not to listen to all that shit and you go see it early.
What do you think the best movie of the year is?
It's Birdman or Whiplash for me.
Okay.
Followed by Frank and Lego Movie. I mean, I'm, you know, we're the vault.
Oh, Lego Movie
up.
Was only this year?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, Calvary's up there for me.
Mm. Okay.
There's some really good movies this year, but what are you doing? You ending the show? Okay, we're done. We're done with that. We're moving on. All right. I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, Jesus. What happened to Ebola?
Ebola disappeared.
Ebola needs a new publicist.
I think Bill Cosby took the Ebola's spotlight.
Before, because I meant to bring up the Ebola missing from the Sunshine last week. That was before.
before old Bing Crosby over there.
Al Bing's been getting the news for like 3 weeks.
You know what? That's a good point. Ebola is just flat out poof, gone. Oh. Gone. Jesus Christ, Ebola was like the leading story.
All we had to do
everywhere.
Was sacrifice one of America's most beloved entertainers. That was yep. the cure. It was yep. human sacrifice.
I wouldn't call it a sacrifice when he sacrificed himself.
I know.
So, okay, here's a direct quote from Anderson Cooper tonight.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say Anderson Cowan, and I was going to throw
like
up.
Third
with
person. Mike Carano is going to
from
wants to weigh
the
in on
pretension
this too.
And also the greatness of it.
Here's a quote from Anderson Cooper earlier tonight. While fires are blazing behind him in Ferguson, him saying nobody wants to see this. Yet every channel you put on, pretty much all the main channels, yeah. it's all over the. So how can that statement?
He doesn't
be
mean
real
we don't want to see it. He means we don't want to see it.
Uh-huh,
and you can't take
do,
him
though.
Literally because of course we want to see it. From the comfort of our homes, we want to watch people just lighting each other on fire.
I don't want to see someone burn a house, but I want to see them covering someone burning a house if someone's going to burn a house.
Covering them?
The news blanket? Coverage.
The day after any kind of
like
any
fire
kind
retardant.
Of
someone had a good idea on Twitter, I think it was, and said that we should all go night crawling for a night for an episode.
Sounds awful.
That's okay. I think that's a good idea.
Well, who's going to spring for the scanner? Because I'm not going to do that.
They're called apps.
Yeah,
on your
there's
phone,
apps.
Bro.
There
well, then why wasn't Jake Gyllenhaal using one?
Here's a quote. Here's a quote from Anderson Cowan. Oh, I'm not going to spring for a scanner.
Well, did I noticed that Jake Gyllenhaal was using his scanner throughout.
Do you notice that whenever there's any kind of tragedy, 9/11 was a big
How
one
did...
that's going to be kind of stretched for me to prove my point. But let's say we do have some riots, some stuff gets burned down, some people get lit on fire. Tomorrow,
Jesus.
We're all going to feel better about ourselves. Isn't that weird?
Wait, what?
For you to be so alone in the world.
When there
thought...
is like a tragedy, doesn't it make you feel better about yourself the next day?
No.
When there's a tragedy? Why?
You felt good about yourself on 9/12? Mike's walking around with his chest puffed up.
Yeah, Mike's like 9/12. Never forget.
I didn't feel good about
Why?
Myself, but I felt better.
Why?
Because I felt we had
felt
come
alive?
Together as humans. I felt like
oh,
it brought things
okay.
into focus. I thought it had.
I was a little worried. You were like, "Oh, I just won another day in the odds game."
No,
I, know,
I mean, like,
I too.
It sort of makes you reevaluate what's important in your life, and you go like, "Oh yeah, we're fragile people and we're humans."
Okay,
and look
well, maybe
at we all
feel
came together.
Better isn't the right word. Maybe
fortunate, alive,
more conscious of your existence.
Yeah,
better, better,
your place in the world.
Better.
a Pepto-Bismol makes my tummy ache feel better. 3,000 people dying doesn't make me feel better the next day.
Better about myself, not about the whole situation.
This kind of ties in. I was watching Survivor, as the wife and I do. What's that? Survivor's still a very
Eye
good show.
Eye of the
very
tiger.
Relevant.
No, I'm just like...
Mike feeling better on 9/12?
About 9/11, yeah. Like, well, this relates. I was watching Survivor.
Kind of does. And this guy was like just in like some murky water, and he was kind of bitching and complaining. Not murky water. It was actually clear water because they always do it on an island. And he was bitching and complaining about something as he was cleaning himself off. And it's just something like clicked in the head. Like, he's bitching, he's complaining, but look at the free will he has. He's a human being. He's in the ocean. He's not worried. Well, he should be maybe a little bit worried, but he's not like panicked about something coming up and biting
Jellyfish.
His ass. He's not worried about a predator like raining down death from above.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's got free will, and he can go meditate. He could spend hours just thinking about whatever he wants. And that is so unique to like the human condition. And I think that so many of us take it for total granted.
We take everything for granted.
And I think that like most the existences that are occurring on Earth right now, most, you know, vast majority of them, animals and insects. I know insects are animals, and you know, the birds and all the wildlife. I think that they live in a perpetual state of fear.
Yes.
With very like our very worst day, waking up as hungover as possible,
yeah.
knowing that we embarrassed ourselves.
Is there
the
every
night
moment?
Before. Is there every moment? Yeah.
I don't think it's fear so much though. I think the fear comes and goes when there's actually fear in the vicinity. I think as an animal, you just wake up. I'm hungry. Better go get some food. I have to go to the bathroom. Better go to the bathroom right now. There is no there is no being intimidated by other people. There is no embarrassment. You just go through your life, and then someone in your family gets killed, and you don't have to reconcile that, and you don't have to think about it. You just go like,
there's
"Oh,
that,
this is the animal kingdom."
Benefit. Yeah, but I think you're always like right on the edge of fight or flight.
Probably,
and
but
I think
it turns on and turns off.
So much. Yeah, like well, yeah, like it does with us as well. But
because your
just...
dogs don't. Kick into it until the doorbell rings. Other than that, they're wagging their tails, having fun.
Call what you want, like spiritual freedom or just, you know,
just free will, and it'd almost be like be playing like a 2D video game. We are on one level, and then all of a sudden you get like this 3D video game that you're allowed to play, and you're allowed to go explore any part you want at your own leisure. It's like we are
and you have unlimited quarters.
And like lots of quarters.
It's being a human being is pathetic because
it's fucking amazing.
Yes.
It might be the gayest thing I've ever said, but Anderson Cowan.
On some level, it's incredible. Of course
Cowan
it's amazing.
To quote Anderson Cowan.
But it's sad and pathetic that we do not take anything.
No, we don't. Like,
that here's this came up. This came up in conversation with Tara, actually, driving. Doesn't matter where we're going. I said, you know what? If we had if a caveman was unfrozen right now and we showed him the iPhone and our cars and our travel and stuff, he would be
confused.
He couldn't comprehend it for like a day, and then the next day he would already take it for granted.
Like he'd have a web.
He has an iPhone.
Probably have a lot.
What if a Yeti showed up tomorrow and we gave him a guitar?
Speaking of which, can we play some People Movers?
That's a good question.
That is a nice.
But we take everything for granted.
Yeah.
How mad do we get? I punched my phone once. Punched it because it wouldn't get a signal. I was like fucking livid.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'm not getting a magical signal from a satellite in space.
But imagine this. Like, okay, like we live our lives like as a caterpillar, right? Well, I guess we turn into a butterfly at one point. So that's probably a bad example. All right, like a stink bug. All right, we're a stink bug, right? And we're in it. We have thoughts and stuff, but they're like so minuscule. But we're in it. It's almost like a drug hole, like a coke hole or something.
See, our thoughts go too deep.
And then when we die, we go to like not heaven, I'm saying, but like this afterlife thing. And then we see what's up next, and it's almost like days of the week. And maybe we see like what we're gonna be like next. We're gonna be a rat, and then you know after that we're gonna come back as a turtle. And then we see that we're gonna be a human, and we're just looking forward to the day. Oh, one day I'm gonna be a human, and it's gonna be fun. I can't wait to be a human because that life's gonna be awesome. Because I'm gonna have so much free will and be able to do what I want.
Is this really how it works?
I could be. Who knows? But you know what I mean. And when you think about it that way, it's like fuck yeah, being human is awesome.
I don't. I think we as humans.
What would you be looking forward to?
Way overvalue our own importance and our own life. Because it really means fucking zero.
Oh, yeah.
But to us, it's everything.
You
and we need to fight to the death to make sure that we can make this thing last as long as possible. And it's really, really sad and pathetic. And it's also disheartening. And it suffocates.
Oh, cool. Don't know how I really wanted to go down that road.
Well, I mean, I'm depressed about it. I get anxiety and super, super depressed thinking, oh, is this what happens till the end? Then I just die and I'm just rotting in the ground. And there is really no spirituality to any of this. And is there a purpose? Should I be doing something else? Should I be a service? I do this. I'd much rather be a dog and just be like, oh,
no, you wouldn't.
Food.
It's the ability it's the ability to have that fear that makes life worth living.
The inability to go into such deep, deep contemplation about this,
hey, Reggie,
I think would make life so much easier. If you just led a simple life, it's like when we talked about the best life to live.
Yeah,
it would be being retarded.
Well, no.
It would be.
Sorry,
would
I just yelled at Reggie in the middle of that. He was lurking around the monitors that are out there. I wanted to see if he could hear them.
They're off.
A little test. I would be looking forward to the day when I'm a human because it's almost like it just expands so many more things that you are capable of. Now,
if somebody told you you can be 10 times smarter or 10 times more powerful than you are now, would you be looking forward to that? Because then you'd just be 10 times more depressed.
It's the free will more than anything else. You get to make up your mind of what you want to do as opposed to what you have.
True.
To do.
However, I don't think that brings you happiness.
Well, it can. That's part of the free will deal there.
If you're one of the unique individuals that has like will has
we all have it. Like Mike, I have been stuck in places where I, you know, where you give yourself that fleeting thought. We all do it, where you think, oh, you know, we're just a speck on a speck.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
in the middle.
Yeah,
of,
I have that every fucking minute.
Yeah. See, I've been stuck there, and then you can't let yourself think about it too much because it's just then everything's futile.
But you can also, you can hold the fact that you're the only sort of creature on the planet that's able to have that thought. That's
There's
special.
A bunch of other ones, you too, and they're lighting themselves
six
on fire.
6 billion other ones.
Yeah.
Well, I think the other thing, Mikey, I don't know if the entire goal of life is to achieve happiness, contentment maybe, but if you live your life only being like, oh, I got to be more happy, I think you're going to be fucking depressed all the time.
Probably.
Just spend your entire life savings on MDMA and just take it until you die.
I don't. I'm
Thanks
not even.
Listening,
I don't even think there's an end game in sight for what life is supposed to be. I think living
it. Fuck those people who think
living,
they found it.
I
haven't.
Think living life to its fullest, if that's even a possibility, is the goal, and sort of being of service, like helping, not just making it all about me, like trying to better everything. I think will make you probably happier, But I think enjoying the moment. I hate when I waste a day, and I waste most days. I waste most days.
Most people do.
I know, but it bothers. It weighs
yeah,
on
at
me.
Least you're conscious that you're wasting days. There's a lot of people that live shitty lives that waste days, and they don't even think. They're like, yeah, today was great.
But then it just compounds you beating yourself up in your own head forever because I just go, okay, I'm aware of the fact that I just wasted a day, and I'm not going to do it tomorrow, and then I do it again, and I do it again, and I do it again, and I just keep on falling back into the same bad, lazy habits.
What is wasting a day as opposed to not wasting a day?
Wasting a day is waking up with ideas in mind, Just accomplishing a little thing makes it a worthwhile day. Doing laundry, washing the car, little things, going grocery shopping.
What do you do instead?
But making a recording is a great day. Working on anything that betters, moves things forward is a great day. Now, doing none of that are days when I wake up early and I start staring at the internet and then all of a sudden it's 10:30 and then I just drive over the hill and go to my office even though I don't have anything to work on just to have some sort of social interaction with people. And then all of a sudden it's the afternoon and I've accomplished nothing and I'm too depressed to start something then. And then you're I just too, can't wait till the night ends so I can go to sleep and start that process over and try to not fall back into that same rut. And I do that, I don't know.
Most people do it.
100 times a year.
Especially when you have free time on your hands.
Yeah.
And you're being too hard on yourself.
I know that. I know that. But
just let it come, man. Just live life, bro. Just let it come. Hey, you ate shit on your skateboard for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you came to visit me.
It's embarrassing.
At Boris Karloff's house.
And it hurt.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
So here's the deal. Tyler, we're doing like the really like because the not to you know talk too much about the film, but it's you know fresh in the mind, and we just shot it, and the movie is like 3/4 pretty comical, 1/4 very tragic and sad, and I'm hoping that I can get that tone down.
Mike breaking his brittle bones is the tragic part.
So we're shooting the very tragic part, which is inside this blind man's house, a blind man's apartment, and he's got a severe stutter. And the actor that I cast for it, his name's Andrew Baring, he's fucking brilliant. He's really, really good. Like I thought he had a stutter when I auditioned him. I'm like, oh no, this guy actually has a stutter. He's one of these guys. He's from Switzerland. He moved here like a year and a half ago. He has like barely any accent that you can detect at all. He can act all these different. He's just great. And there's supposed to be a maniac dog loose in his apartment, and he's on the phone, terrified of this dog, right? So I got people simulating noises around the house for him to react to, and he's like stuttering. It's really tragic. Like I'm feeling bad as I'm watching the monitor, watching this guy perform. And, you know, we're like, all right, everyone lock it up, quiet on set. All right, roll camera, you know, roll sound, blah, 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 mark it, and action. And it's just, he's like, you delivered the wrong. And then I can hear it as clear as day. Oh, yeah, that's the kind of, you have to buy that one. It's the best because, you know, it costs like $400, but like in the distance, and it's just Corona, just as clear as day.
sorry, I didn't see that coming.
It was so classic Corona, too. He was selling somebody on some product that has no benefit to him. That's why he would be the greatest sales guy if he didn't get paid.
I thought about that this week.
But I told you that once, and you got really offended a couple years ago on the show.
You know what? I'm offended on some level, but I... You know what occurred to me? Is I could genuinely sell anybody who was kind of in the market for a Subaru Outback. I could sell them an Outback. I could.
Generally,
I'm speaking from the heart. I could sell.
I do my best sales too when the room's supposed to be quiet.
If you're in the market for a Subaru Outback and you
he was out front and down the street
are That's thinking of doing it,
he was out front down.
You
the
know what
street.
I was selling? I was selling your friend Derek a Porsche Cayenne.
He can afford it too.
He was talking about his wife wants a Range Rover, and I was like, you know what? Make her drive the Cayenne first.
Yeah,
I got the Range Rover's got a nicer interior, but it's much less reliable. If only if you
right,
lease it,
okay.
Don't buy that
it.
Thing.
All right, all right.
I already
right.
heard this in my headphones. Underneath the stuff.
But I could blender. Sell that car from the heart to anybody who was slightly in the market in a heartbeat. All right. Speaking of selling cars, did you guys hear This American Life last week?
No.
It's all about cars.
It's an
sales.
Old one, but it's a good one.
Oh, is it old?
It's like a year old.
It was good.
Good. It was quite good.
Very surprising.
You know what else is good?
People movers. Are we there yet? Are we already
I'm
doing that?
Queued up.
Are you ready to,
ready
do
to go? Set the stage.
Do you got any more info on them?
No, except I know that they're signed to Atlantic Records. So I
already
there has to be someone's side project.
I do feel like it's a bit of an attack at Fart Barf, though, like a bit of a response, a bit of a hey, we like. What you
I'm
did.
Not gonna like it if it's that.
We like what you did there, but watch us do it right. Watch
it's
us go
very,
full bore.
It's a very particular,
it's
particularly
gravel.
Like
heavy gravel,
strategic curation of a look and style.
If you have not checked them out, since we kind of briefly brought them up at the end of last week's episode, it's PPL space MVRS.
All right.
Movers. People Movers.
No, it's just People Mover.
Let's have a listen.
People Movers, what I meant to say. And actually, it was Farron who first turned me on to him. He was very drunk when he's like, grabbed me, and he's like, he looks a little bit like a Yeti sometimes, too, because his hair is very long. He has a big bushy beard. You know Farron.
Yes, I do.
Redheaded Jesus.
Yes,
and
I
he
do.
He grabs me, and he goes, I got a band that you're going to like. They dress as Yetis, and they make good music. That's all I needed to hear.
There's a large white one who plays guitar. There's a large black one who plays bass guitar. And then there's a caramel one that plays the drums.
Caramel?
I guess. I don't beige.
It's like a Chewbacca.
I live in the Mexican part of L.A.
You should pull up the video for Mike.
L.A. Yeah, you know what? I'll do that.
And we'll sync them up at the same time. Everyone at home, pull up the old YouTubes.
And then we're going to talk about underage girls being hot when we come back.
And then I'll talk about a sweet restaurant you need to go to in San Diego.
No, underage girls.
Ah, what was it?
We'll find out, won't we?
Why don't you talk now while he's pulling the video?
And then I'll tell you what cell carrier I have. It's going to be a great night, folks. Buckle up.
And we're going to talk about the Galapagos affair.
But first.
Satan came to Eden. Remember
that? But first,
that?
Advertising.
Oh, wait. Oh, no.
MailChimp.
MailChimp?
Use the MailChimp.
Oh, I got a story about David Arquette. David Arquette, I forgot to bring it up last week, and it's fucking hilarious. I was having a cigarette out front with David Arquette. A couple weeks ago when he was on Loveline. And, dude, I love the dude. I really do like that guy. He's authentic. I like him for the same reason I like mentally challenged people, which sounds wrong.
That was a horrible sentence.
They're easier to fuck.
Oh, my God. You thought people were going to riot over the stuff in Ferguson. Ooh, we should try to incite a riot. That would be good publicity.
We should have done a War of the Worlds style fake riot.
When I was in jail, when I was in LA County for 2.5 days for failures to appear, that was the reason. I had to make up some shit because everyone was in there for, like, you know, assault and battery, grand theft. So, and they give you a little card. I'm told the story, but you get to keep it in your pocket. And I was very careful to
not let it fall.
See that card, failures to appear. What a puss move that is to get put in jail.
Stole cable TV.
People, hey, what are you in for? They'd always guess first. Usually they say selling meth. And I said inciting a riot. And I had some backstory about
that's
how
that's a good
I,
one.
Yeah. I was kind of proud of myself that I came up with that. And it's kind of like, you know, obscure enough. That
No one would.
Oh, I hit some dude.
Cut to all the guys in the holding cell sitting around listening to Anderson standing on a bench screaming. Then I said, fuck the cops, man. We're not going to take it. We're the citizens here. One color underneath the flag of red, white, and blue.
I got people chanting. God, that green tea is good. I've been drinking green tea all day. Name the movie. You know what movie that's from? I've been drinking green tea all day. Danny McBride. Hot Rod. All right, I'm
waiting
for this.
That long enough.
Never-ending commercial.
I had
click the skip ad button.
I can't.
Fuck.
It's not there. There's none. It's one of the long ones. Every now and again, though.
There's no.
I had a great.
You know what YouTube's doing too now? When you push pause for like say 10 minutes and you go back and you
it
push
goes
play,
right back to the commercial.
Go back. To
that's
the
why
program.
You guys install AdBlock Plus, right, and then you never have to have an ad before your YouTube things again.
Oh, they'd be a great advertiser. Anti-ad advertiser, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're literally.
All right, let's hear a minute of this.
He's gonna put.
Yeah, it's on. The video's on.
Pulled it up.
Oh.
Then we're gonna talk about underage.
I don't know if they're queued up at all.
Doesn't matter.
Cheers.
Yeah, it's
that's the kind of press they want.
It's good, but it's not.
Here we go. Walk to the left. When you get off, better watch your step. Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead, Mike.
I don't know.
And that's the it's only song cool. released. They have played a couple times live.
It's got to be somebody's side project. It's so Queens of the Stone Age-y and
yeah,
them Crooked
Josh
Vultures
Pete.
And Eagles of Death Metal.
Yeah, yeah.
They also have a fourth guy that plays with them at the live shows, and he's like their Yeti Wrangler. He's like dresses like a Steve Irwin / like Native American tracker.
Oh, he's like a white dude. I mean, he's like not white dude. Jesus.
With like long black hair and a beard and like a crocodile tooth necklace.
Hmm. So he looks like Crocodile Dundee?
No, he's more Native American looking than that.
It's interesting. The whole thing's kind of interesting. Peoplemover.co.
We should go to Polestar and see if they're playing.
They're not. I've already checked a couple times. Checked a couple times.
Hmm.
All right. Where were we?
You were telling a David Arquette story?
Yeah? What do you have? You had something.
I got a story that follows your David Arquette story. It's not as good.
Is it about how something great you don't like?
No, I was going to talk about having drinks with Dr. Drew.
Ugh.
What? You had drinks with Drew?
They're still planning to destroy the show.
Tara and I met Dr. Drew at the Improv for drinks.
Right.
Friday night.
For drinks.
And I introduced him to my friend Peter, who's exceptionally smart.
Wait a minute. What drinks?
Yeah.
What'd you drink?
I had a soda.
I was like, literally.
He had wine and she had like a drink.
I hope the story gets better.
It doesn't really.
The three of us split a grilled cheese sandwich. And some calamari.
I'm quitting the show.
Here's the point. I introduced my friend Peter, who's very, very, very bright.
Here's what sucks.
And
Peter has read all the way through.
Peter has read every Bible.
About a 20-minute version.
And so I said, Peter's read all the Bibles. And Drew and him started talking about religion. And they got into this very, very intense, in-depth conversation about religion for an hour. And then we all decided to part ways. And we got up to leave the table. And Tara went, well, at least I was only the third stupidest person at the table.
That's pretty good.
Because I was the stupidest person at the table by far.
I want to be friends with Tara.
You can. I'll introduce you.
I've been introduced, Mikey, but I wanted to hang out a little more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Done.
Stop holding out, bro.
Done.
Got to kick down, bro. Kick it down.
Maybe you guys can go to the Madonna Inn and Jillian and I will meet you there.
He couldn't even get it out.
Sorry. That's horrible sounding.
Okay, let's.
David Arquette, you're out.
I know. I really want to have this conversation, though, about young, underage girls being super attractive.
Let's do it.
I'm afraid, though.
Let's do it.
It's a slippery
slope. Don't be afraid. It's not a slippery slope.
I didn't know this conversation was happening.
Yeah, I've been saying it. I've been teasing it for the last 8 minutes or so.
Teasing. Let's be careful with the words. Bill.
All right, start with David Arquette. So we're out front smoking cigarettes. And when he was on the show, because like years and years ago.
Please never make those noises again.
I think just a couple weeks ago or last week, I talked about how I played the drop of him. I played audio of him coming, breaking in on Loveline after moments after Corolla called him crazy on the air.
I do. I remember that.
So it started off with crazy. The conversation of David Arquette being crazy and being that guy. And then I just moments ago, per Anderson Cowan, quoted saying, that much like a mentally challenged person, he can't help but be himself. He's one of those guys. There's no airs about David Arquette. There's nothing, you tend to believe people like that.
Yeah.
They're not putting anything up. There's no front. They're just them. They can't help it.
Yeah, he's got nothing to gain. It's not like.
But he's just so unabashedly himself from what I see. Now, apparently, that's one of the reasons I think I was telling you recently.
I'm so sorry for this stupid question. Is Rosanna Arquette his sister?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
So was the one, Patricia Arquette, and so was the one who's transgender.
I didn't know that they were related. There's a transgender one?
Is he related to Charcoal Briquettes?
Yeah.
I want to punch him right in his fucking mouth. That'd be so satisfying right now. Just pow. That would have felt great. I feel bad in retrospect, like moments later, but that would have felt great.
So they really are related.
Anything to get me out of this sweet hell.
What? What's so anti? What's so anti?
This guy hates everything, doesn't like music.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
You're being you.
This guy. I didn't say I hated this music. I thought it was all right. I liked it.
So I'm out front smoking my cigarette, as I'm known to do. Arquette.
When did I say I hate music? Jesus.
You know, you hate good music. You weren't impressed with People Movers.
So no, they're all right. Mm-hmm. They're good.
They're as good as Whiplash, or Whiplash not as good. What's better? Apples, oranges.
I would listen to people. There's a couple of problems I have.
Like, in this voice is the least convincing way to say that you like something.
Have you seen Whiplash, Tyler?
I didn't like that they use the word acquiesce in a song. That's kind of weird.
Uh-huh. Well, you need something to rhyme with baracquiesce.
Correctamundo. Lots of fundo.
So he's smoking his Nat Shermans, and I'm smoking my American Spirits where I'm skating around him.
Yeah, of course.
As he's talking to me about... So we have pictures around here, around these halls. There's one of, I can see it right here, Joel McHale with Mike and Drew. It's framed. There's a chick from Community. There's Chris Angel. It's a true story. Chris Angel.
They get updated about once a decade.
What's that?
The photos are updated once a decade.
Steve-O. I can see Steve-O. Courtney Hole's up there. I mean, Courtney Love. I really do call her Courtney Hole now. And there's a really good picture. Actually, Carano is the one that took the one of the Insane Clown Posse. Both Jay, Violent Jay, and Shaggy, and Mike and Drew. Actually, it might just be Drew. Anyways, not the point. I guess that Arquette was looking at these pictures. There's also a picture of Stanley and Carano up there framed on the wall in with all the other people, which I like. I like that.
Thank you.
It disappeared for about 6 months. And then
where'd it go?
Very weird. It disappeared, and now it's back. Anyways. I guess he saw the picture of Insane Clown Posse. So Arquette asked me out front. He says, Insane Clown, those guys come here often? And I say, no, Dave, they used to all the time. They're great. We loved them. But the last story we heard was they're not allowed to leave the state of Michigan because of like some kind of legal charges levied against them. And he goes, Azera is playing recently
I don't know. I went White to the
House?
Grove
at the House of Blues, and I was thinking, because I'm into clowns. I'm really into clowns, and I was thinking about, you know, I saw they were playing there, and I was gonna put like clown, like really creepy. I know they're fans; they put on like clown makeup and stuff. But I was thinking about actually putting on like really going all the way and wearing like creepy clown makeup and stuff, and just going to the show and just being there in clown makeup. He just blew over the fact that they weren't allowed to leave the state of Michigan.
Yeah,
obviously, he has updated information because he tells me that they're just playing down the street recently. So instead of saying, making that, bridging that gap going, weird, that's weird because they're just playing in L.A. And then he jumps right into, I have a thing for clowns. I am a clown guy. And I wanted to, I loved it, but fucking odd. I have since learned that he owns Jumbo's Clown Room and some other clown related.
It's crazy, too, because you brought that place up. You guys talked about Jumbo's or Jumbo's Clown Room.
I didn't even know that when I was talking
about it. It's a recent acquisition by him because I saw it on either TMZ or something like when it happened. It was within the last couple of years.
How do you become like a clown guy? What the fuck?
I don't know.
Our friend Dodd, for those of you who have listened to all the episodes.
No, Dodd.
He has a terrifying collection of like clown marionettes that he has lit in terrifying circus red and blue lighting in his dark apartment.
No.
It's very unsettling. No one warned me about that when I visited his apartment.
Dodd is the one who has a rich history here on the program. He didn't he try and rape you or something, Mike?
Didn't try to rape me.
Uh-huh.
I told that story. I don't want to repeat the whole thing. He tried breaking into my office one night. I kicked the door shut. He ran away.
Mm-hmm. Also,
and then he disappeared from the employ of the improv, and then I ran into him years later at Tyler's wedding. I didn't recognize him completely until he started being overly aggressively sexual in the men's room. And
then I was mean.
I told the story about that, and then he heard it and called in. I know Tyler facilitated that, but
he didn't rain down on you. He rained down on me. He was like more mad at me than you.
Well, there was a point where he kind of went, you're not telling the truth, you're being dishonest. And I went, I'm being dishonest? You broke into my office and stole stuff. And he goes, I didn't steal it, I was selling
buying
it
drugs.
For drugs.
Yeah.
And you're like, that still is
He
said.
He did his apologies and made his amends, as in the program.
Just
he's a
friend
of Bill.
What are you
James.
Doing? What are you doing? He's friends with Bill now?
What?
Is he friends with Bill?
He's been friends with Bill for a long time.
Oh, are you serious? I had no idea.
From, 10 years.
Wow.
Do they have like a gay friend of Bill meetings?
Yeah, they sure do.
Maybe that's why you don't see him.
Hmm?
Maybe that's why you've never seen him.
I go to the gay meeting.
Do you?
No. But they
he said it very convincingly. That was good, Mike.
They do.
Mike, why
can't
you bring
Mike, I like you again.
To the set of Cult of Corona?
Yeah, I know. It
that kind of commitment.
Takes me a day. The they of course they do. They have men's meetings, women's meetings, gay meetings.
Do they have young girl meetings? There's your segue, Anderson.
Thanks, Ty. Ty, just waiting for that.
I don't know, but I had a friend.
I'm the segue whisperer.
I ran into a friend after a meeting that I don't normally go to, and is this breaking one of the?
Not if you don't say their name. Bring it.
The speaker was talking about. The speaker spent 20 minutes talking about how when I first became sober.
Talking about
it was all about what can you do for me? What can I get from you? My whole life. And he goes, now it's what can I do for you? How can I help you? Mm-hmm. And he goes, and it's been a sincere change in my heart. And that was his entire message. So I see my friend and I was like, hey, man, what's up? And he's like, you know what? You know what I can't get over?
The same person that was saying that?
No, that was a speaker. This is a guy that I didn't know was going to.
And he's a friend of yours, though. You know him from before.
Yeah. And he goes, the thing I can't get over is how much fucking pussy there is here. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I just can't get over that. There's just so much pussy. And I was like, did you even hear what that dude was saying? It's like,
I feel like I have the exact
going to church and then afterwards telling your friend, you know what? I love this church thing because look at all these wives I can covet. This is the best.
I feel like I was in the exact same predicament, and it was like the same language and everything. Like, this place got a lot of pussy, and I was just like,
It was like, it was more about.
I don't like when strangers try to bond with you over sex with other people.
No.
It's horrible.
And I also,
so horrible.
I also don't like when people say there's a lot of pussy here, because I think that's so. I'm not standing up for women. Let me just clarify that.
But let me make it clear.
Yeah,
I'm not standing up for
but
women.
But I don't like referring to people by that. I would be grossed out if I heard girls go, there's a lot of cock here. I'd be
oh
like,
my God,
oh,
can you imagine?
That's weird.
You see all the cocktails around this place?
Yeah. There's a lot of pink dungs in this place.
I don't like it.
Is
I don't
that a
like
white
that.
Joke?
I don't like that word.
Is that a white joke?
I was watching an episode of Broad City recently, and she called it, the penis was so pink, and she liked it very much.
Bobcat Goldthwait in his act, actually, the one that I was obsessed with when I was a kid, I think it was like 1995 HBO special.
Yeah.
He actually, it was towards the end of the act, too. It was one of the better things he was talking about. And I am burning, but it's very old. And I have tried to find that act to show Jillian because it was my favorite.
Yeah.
And I can't find it anywhere. It's nowhere. It's not on YouTube. It's not available for rent or anything. So I'm not burning.
You're going to get a lot of tweets tomorrow.
But he's talking, possibly. But he's, I hope so because I want to show her that. But he's talking about, he's at a U2 concert. And he's like, oh, you know, swaying with the music. Yeah. And it's like Bono's up there. This is not mid-90s. So it's before Bono was Bono. It was a different Bono back then. And, you know, Bono's talking about peace and love and, you know, like changing the world and anti-war. His anti-war message is so powerful. And this guy in front of me, I hear him say, dude, I bet Bono gets so much puss.
Yep.
And it completely just ruined the moment for him. And then his joke goes
That's
on to that
joke.
He stomps him and he's got him on the ground. Bobcat's like hitting him, saying, what the fuck? He's up there singing about peace and love as he's kicking him. To all the automotive safety advances. That's not the act. That's an automotive. Sounds like a tire ad, if I had to guess. Tyler.
You guys, you know what I've been searching for? And I kid you not when I say I've probably invested a good 12 hours so far in this. Do you two?
Oh, no.
I'd break into this NRA guy's house. In the middle of the night, I'd steal his gun, I'd take his gun, and then I'd go, I'd wake him up and I'd go, I want you to explain this. Boom!
I just kill himself.
I mean, I'd be dead.
That's
in his
part of,
room.
Yes, that's it. That's part of it. How do you found it? Is it clips or is it the entire thing?
He just came in here.
It's called Bobcat Doing Bono of U2.
I'm supposed to bring out a video. You know, I gotta tell you something. I just come out here and do my Bono impression, you know?
But this is different. This is where he does it, I think. Oh, this is it, I think. I don't know. Are we ruining the show? The show being ruined?
Yeah, we played that whole song with those Yetis.
Look, he just equated them to...
Play it on.
No.
I'm sorry, buddy.
No!
I just saw the look on Mike's face. And
I didn't hate the Yeti song. I liked it.
All right, we have too many things to get
to.
Keep
going.
Yeah,
you were saying
keep the trainer rolling.
What was going on?
I was saying
we have to get to Anderson's slippery slope of young girls.
You were having. Let's just get right to the young girls.
Dirty.
Let's just get right to the young girls.
You don't think I intended that?
Mine sort of ties in.
What were you saying, Mike?
Mine sort of ties in.
You said you guys. I've been.
You guys. I've been seriously looking and working towards trying to find someone who will manufacture or I can purchase.
We don't want
curtains
that.
For my car,
oh.
So I can make the back completely invisible from the outside.
Is this speaking of the young girls?
I said it ties in.
You know where you look?
Yeah, I looked everywhere.
No, you know.
I've been to Walmart. I've been to Target.
What kind of cars? Besides like VW buses.
Like old Mercedes, like limousines and
stuff.
I'm
an everywhere man. You know, look for my van.
You are correct. You are correct.
Yeah.
I found some cheap companies that make them in Hong Kong, but I didn't want these one-size-fits-all ones. I think I just need to find somebody to make them. I don't want to do that. I want it to be professional-looking, like little curtain rods.
Money well spent.
Nothing I've done in my life is money well spent.
Curtains for your car.
Nothing is money well spent. You know what I almost did?
Uh-huh.
And I'm not that big of a fan to do this.
Mike, I think you would make Larry David anxious.
You remember that Shining?
Yes. Why do you do that to me?
Well, they also have throw rugs.
Did you see the carpet and
yes.
Birdman?
No, but they also have throw rugs. In different sizes, and they have one that's perfectly. It's like 5 feet by 4 feet, and I'm like, I'm measuring my floor mats
okay,
in my
what
car.
What we're talking about because I'm almost lost as well.
And any carpet place will take my floor mat and take that carpet and cut that the exact same shape as my floor mat, and I'll have shining carpet in my car.
The carpet design and shining is very memorable.
Yeah,
recognizable.
What was the tie into Birdman?
I believe it was Birdman. I'm 90% sure that was the carpet in Birdman. There's a movie that I saw recently. I see a lot of them. And I'm like, hey, look, it's very odd that they have the shining carpet.
Maybe. I think I would have recognized it, though. In where?
Like
his dressing room?
The entire, wherever there was carpet. Like the hallways, I think.
I don't remember
Tweet
seeing
us.
Any carpet.
Hashtag after disaster carpet. Let us know.
Tyler, what is your fucking problem?
We're discussing carpet that may or may not have been in movies that one of you didn't even like.
Have you seen Birdman, Tyler?
No!
Fired!
Are you going to see it?
I don't know. It's going to tear us apart. What if I'm totally indifferent?
Oh, God. I can't believe I'm actually going down this road. All right. I was talking with a good friend of mine on the way into work tonight, whose name shall remain nameless. And,
Schmuck or Schmoo?
No, he doesn't have a problem. He's a good friend. He doesn't have a problem. But, like, you know, he noticed it really bothers him that he finds – like 14, 15, you know, girls that are, you look at 14-year-old girls, and there's some that are look super young. It's that age where, and some look much older, right?
No.
Some are still little kids, and some are much older.
Staying out of this. I didn't know you were going to go 14. I thought you were going to say 17.
14, like, 15, 16.
I've seen some 16-year-olds that
You remember
look
like when
they're
you were
19 or 20.
I think freshmen in high school is like 14, yeah. 15. Some of those girls look like they're 17, 18 years old.
There was always one girl, one or two girls. There,
right.
I mean, there always is in the age group, yeah.
Now, my friend, who's a fairly literal guy, and he's very in tune with his own thoughts, and it kills him and really makes him feel guilty that he looks at some of these girls. Sometimes, like, he's in position. He's not a dangerous person at all. It sounds a lot worse. And this is actually part of my point. Tyler, why are you hiding? This is part of my point. Like, just talking about this, actually, even now, the image that people have of this person in their head is like, you know, a vile, irreconcilable, you know, disgusting,
yes,
miscreant. Right? He's in a position. He's not like a camp counselor or anything like that, and he's not a Boy Scout guy, right? But he's around these girls for various reasons. And it really bothers him when he looks at them and he finds them to be attractive because it is so frowned upon in society. And my point to him, and to make him feel better, because he was calling me like as a friend in need. And he
just
said,
make sure you kill them so they don't squeal, man.
He's not doing anything with them. That's how pure this guy is. He's not a religious person. So he's kind of using me not only as a friend, but almost as like he needs to get it off his chest because he feels so guilty.
Yeah.
So, and he's not like being lascivious. He's not saying anything sexual about them.
Me you're talking about, though. I should point that out.
Yeah, I promise you it's not Corona. And he really just needs to get it off his chest and, like, clear, like, make sure that he's not crazy. And, you know, I helped him reconcile. But in doing so, we had actually a very interesting conversation. And it's that society, and the way that we're all kind of built, there's just so much lying bullshit of everyone. There's so much sanctimonious, hypocritical bullshit out there.
Absolutely.
All three of us. And, Tyler, you don't have to say a goddamn word because I know how you are. But all three of us could look at a girl who's 14 years old, who looks older, all right?
Okay,
let's say 15.
Okay,
we'll say 15 just to make it a little less creepy. Because, yes, 14 is very young, and it does sound young. But there are 14-year-old girls who look 18, 19 years old. There's plenty of 15 and 16-year-old girls who look older than they are, but they don't look old by any means. They do look young, but they are fucking beautiful. And they're also able to procreate. They're able to this sounds so creepy.
You can put it this way. You can put it this way. You could put up a lineup of 10 girls, okay? All of them are of age, and say maybe one of them. But you don't tell us that one of them is underage. Uh-huh. You could look at them all and be like, oh, they're all beautiful. If I then tell you, I'm going to give you a lineup of 10 people and one of them is underage, you're going to feel weird about that lineup because you're going to be like, they're all attractive, but I know that someone here is underage and this weirds me out.
Mm-hmm. I also think I think it's sickening how what fucking douchebag, self-righteous assholes we are as humans. Because of what you said. And this reminds me of the time that I came in here and asked Mike and Dr. Drew, I said, have you guys ever had a crush on a 17-year-old?
And they
ripped me
the
a new
out,
asshole and said, that's sick and that's wrong and blah, blah, blah. And I left here going, all I said was, have you ever had a crush on a – I know, but I was just like, that was
– honest, in fairness to them, they're in front of microphones and they are a little bit different than us, especially Drew, Mike, whatever. And I think that was when Mike was still kind of fresh with Drew and he was trying to impress Drew.
But
because I – believe me, there was a lot of sanctimonious
I've given this a lot of thought. And if – because I've had people argue with me, men are not attracted to women that are 17, 18 years old. And I went, well, then why aren't there 35-year-olds in Playboy and Penthouse? Why are they all 18, 19?
That's the
20?
Thing.
Everyone's a fucking liar.
Yeah. And they can't.
Yeah.
I admit that, yes, I can look at a young
if
girl.
If men would rather look at
40-year-old
women, they would
I'm
all
not like,
be.
Oh, my God, I got to immediately like, masturbate or try and make out with that girl. I mean, I can, you know, I'm. But I can look at like a girl who may or may not be underage. I can see beauty in younger girls, and I'm. And also, we know much more about the mental state and how what it does to people. So it's completely wrong to do anything if you're an older person with a young girl. And I hope that's clear. But what it's just we're in this weird place because of the Industrial Revolution and because we're so advanced and we live so much longer than we're supposed to.
The Industrial Revolution get dropped in this conversation.
Because evolution-wise, we're supposed to be dying at like 30, 35 years old. We're supposed to be having sex.
Yeah.
You know, and back like just not that long ago, guys that are like 30 years old who are about to die.
You're supposed to get that tang as soon as they hang.
You're with like a 15-year-old girl.
Was that
getting married to a 15-year-old girl.
On the pioneer.
And we have not caught up. Our evolution is not caught up to the Industrial Revolution.
But you know where it gets sickening, actually, is if you look at the modeling industry. Because like Tara's friend, who was a model, and she was already living out of the country when she was 14 and being brought to bars. Given coke, and she's, you know, she's like 18 now, insanely hot.
Well, maybe she's not.
But she was in Japan when she was 14.
But she wasn't hot
in Paris.
Then, right?
Yeah,
she was 14.
Yes.
No, she wasn't, Mike.
You want to see the pictures of her?
No. She's not allowed to be hot, Mike. She's 14.
She was a professional model.
There's no way she could possibly be hot because that's wrong.
That's what I'm saying. Some sick cultures,
and I think that's part of the problem. So you know, there's a lot of this with a lot of things, but it's just everyone, especially with this Puritan goddamn country, the fact that it's still Puritan, especially over here, we're so pent up, and there's so much violent, fucking, rageful sex crimes and stuff because these guys are so fucking pent up, and they lie to themselves like, no, she's not beautiful, and then they just all let it out, unleash, and they pour kill.
But there's
a poor
also
innocent.
there's
kill a poor innocent.
I've given this a lot of thought. Yeah, exactly. But there's other mental. Slight mental illnesses that can make you attracted to a younger person, which is like when you were scorned in high school. Like if I never had girls in high school and I'm still stuck mentally in that,
right?
Which I might be.
Or your first experience was with a girl and it was so intense and it was at that age and then you had nothing, you never had more luck.
But again, you know why the age of consent is around, right?
You're arrested
for school.
Tell me.
The reason that we instituted ages of consent is to keep people in school. Otherwise, they would have gotten pregnant and they wouldn't have stayed in school. That's why.
Really? That's where it all began?
Absolutely.
Huh.
Absolutely. It was to keep kids in school until they were 18.
It seems a bit arbitrary because, I mean, I feel like I was the same person at 15, 16, 17, 18. I didn't grow up a whole lot.
It was
to change that much.
It was so people could finish school.
Uh-huh.
And
you know why Thanksgiving came around?
No.
I learned it just today and I half listened. It was on the radio when I was driving around. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. This is a Thanksgiving episode.
Enjoying our podcast because Serial is not on this week. So look who's going to be top of the charts this week.
Name this episode Serial. After you know what? Do it! Because people might be like fiending for their Serial. There's not a new one out. Maybe they'll search Serial. It'll pop up.
Oh, and with the after disaster, if they're unbeknownst, they don't know, and they just see serial after disaster, they'll think,
so this is what everyone's listening to?
Something happened.
I'll put in a couple
gone?
X's, too, for like triple X.
Put in like Adnan.
Put young girl sex. Oh, maybe not. Do
yeah, don't that's do what, that.
Don't do that.
We don't need red flags.
Where were so, we?
This last 15 minutes is already going to be weird.
Yeah, where were we? I'm just,
okay,
there's plenty
I wish
of
I wouldn't
like
have
that.
Said that, that school thing with such confidence, but that is why they instituted ages of consent.
Because I heard that they, you know, the 2 o'clock, 2 a.m. thing with booze. You can't,
yeah.
That was the studios around these parts, around L.A., because their actors were going out back in the 20s and 30s going out and getting hammered. And coming to set late, so they said they talked to the bars around town. They're like, "Could you please cut off my actors at 2 a.m.? Just kind of close your."
Yeah.
That's what I heard, and then it kind of got instituted.
But I also think the age of consent needs to be instituted because men can, as an older man, it's very easy to manipulate a younger girl.
Oh, absolutely,
and that's psychologically damaging to her.
There's so many poor parents out there.
Yeah,
bad parents.
But you know what I mean?
That it'll they be, can't.
And as men,
instill.
Our sex drive is so strong. Mm-hmm. That it will be so easy for us to manipulate young girls into sex and then psychologically damage them.
I
so I think it's good
well,
that there
course,
is.
Well, of course, there's got to be laws in place. And there's no way that, you know, 30-year-olds should be, like, you know, with underage girls or even 18-year-old girls. It's just
I'm not even saying underage. I'm just saying it's so much easier when you have, like, 20 more years under your belt than somebody else to trick
that,
them.
You're old and you're gross to them, which I.
No. You give them some coke.
Mike. So here's what I have heard. Apparently some broad, she's probably underage too, because everyone was underage back then.
Broads are not underage.
So it was back in the, right after the old Civil War there, and she was, I guess she had tried it before, but she was petitioning presidents and writing them letters saying, please make this a new holiday. I think there was only like President's Day, which was Washington's birthday.
Sure
was
hope
the only,
this is true what you're
was
saying.
The only national holiday at the time, and she felt like she really wanted a holiday around this time of year when it was getting cold. Just a time for everyone to come together as a family, and because the war, the town, the country was ripped apart. It had just been ripped apart by civil war,
mm-hmm.
and she was trying. She wanted
brother
a holiday
killing
to
brother.
Bring people back together. And Lincoln was so moved by her petition there that he put it into law that the last Thursday of every November would
okay.
be Thanksgiving.
So you're telling me that Thanksgiving has only been around since Lincoln?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
And they decided to.
I thought the Pilgrims did the first Thanksgiving.
Well, no, that was the first Thanksgiving, but it wasn't nationally recognized or even like a thing until this woman.
And she's like,
history,
and as a side note, these fucking turkeys are keeping me up all night. He's like, I 4 score and 7 turkey heads.
I was joking on my coffee, you dick.
Sorry.
Yeah. These fucking turkeys. Thank God they weren't cats. That'd be a weird
holiday.
Oh, my
God. That would be the toughest meat to eat on Thanksgiving.
A terrible holiday. Mike Tyler's giving me a face like I am very wrong. Now I heard this on
No. You're that she read a bunch of editorials, and that's what led to it becoming a national holiday.
Right. It was Lincoln that said, game on, right?
Mm-hmm. It says something about S-ing his D, too, which is weird.
S-ing his D?
Mm-hmm.
She sucked his dick?
Apparently.
Why are you S-ing his D? That's
I'm
both.
Not.
Why are you saying it that way, though? Because I don't know what that means. Well, I guess I did. But why are you radio editing yourself? Don't like. Speak like a man in these parts?
All the kids are eating them tees.
Eating them tits? What's it? Ew, why did I just
editing
say
themselves.
Tyler, come on. You're better than that.
No, I'm not really. Can we talk about some of the other things?
Yeah.
So I try and make friends usually when I'm getting gas at the gas station.
Wait. Did we finish the young girl talk already?
No. And I'll turn to my, I'll just like look for a dude because I'm just trying to make
the one time Mike wants to get back on topic.
No, I thought I
let's steer the shit back on track.
I didn't know if we got to a conclusion or what. I don't really get what the point was
because I'm still kind of new to my neighborhood. So like, if you're like, it's a good time when you're sitting around, you know, getting gas, where there's, you know, just a little small talk. If there's a guy with, if you're a dude, there's a guy around you and you see him and he's with an earshot. Look, scan your perimeter for another woman.
Mm-hmm.
Find her. Turn to the man and say, hey, check out the tits on that one.
Oh,
friends.
That's no.
Terrible. Yeah, you become friends right away. Hey, like you pawn.
If you tell me someone did that to you.
Yeah, that's, I don't like that one bit.
You become friends right then and there.
Not with me, you don't.
That did not happen to me. But this did at a little local coffee joint, and it stuck with me. And it was one of those little things that I really liked. Okay. All right. I think you're going to like this, Mike. So I went into.
You don't know tonight.
a local. It was actually Coffee Bean, if you must know. And I was buying, like, you know, those big boxes of coffee that they sell. You know,
yeah.
Boxes, and they give you all the cream on the side and the cups, little cups, and feeding a bunch of people some coffee. Day before, I bought a couple of big boxes for my film shoot. And so Friday night I went in there and I prepaid for it and I said I want it to be ready at 7:45 so I can pick it up on my way.
Good luck.
And she says okay, and I paid for it. Actually, she had me buy a gift card so that I could get $5 back. I don't even know what happened. All I know is that I gave them a bunch of money, and she took it out my name, my first name, Anderson. That was it. She goes okay, it'll be here tomorrow morning 7:45. I said all right, thanks. Do I have any receipt or anything? She's like no, I just got your name. You'll be fine.
Mm. Oh dear.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you going to
be? So I just gave you $80 for nothing?
Are you going to be? It wasn't that much. So are you going to be here tomorrow morning? She goes, oh no, I don't. No, I'm not here. I think he will be here. She points to like the manager guy. So I go over and the manager's behind.
I need a receipt.
I'm like, excuse me, sir. Are you going to be here tomorrow morning? Because I bought a big box. And he's like, no, I'm not here tomorrow morning. I'm like, oh well. And I'm not trying to sound paranoid or anything. And I'm sure it'll be fine. But I don't have anything in writing. And I felt like a dick. Like I was apologetic. This dude in a wheelchair. Little thin guy, sitting behind me, looked older, and he cuts me off, and he says, that's not paranoia, that's wisdom.
Ooh.
And it hit.
And he's like, I wish I had some of that before I went onto the railroad tracks back in 77.
Doesn't matter that he was in a wheelchair, and he was not Asian, Tyler, but
he's correct.
He was
dead. That was the wisdom gong, not Asian gong.
I felt so vindicated, and I felt like so less like a dick.
How'd it work?
It was fine. Okay. Actually, I didn't even do it. I sent somebody else to pick it up for me, and they gave him no qualms at all. They're like, here you go.
That's too loosey-goosey for me, man.
Pretty loosey-goosey.
I need some fucking thing that says...
I had the same thing with...
I want to see her set her alarm on her iPhone that says, make coffee now at 7:15.
No, she wrote it down, and she's not going to be
there.
Yeah, but
I want to know somebody is...
Like saying you order a pizza from Pizza Hut. You want to see the guy like put a reminder in his phone? Oh, I guess it's for like later. What are you saying, Ty?
I had a prescription for my elbow for some Vicks, brah. And they're like, can you come get it, your prescription? And I was like, no, I'm at work. Can my wife come get it? They're like, yeah, that's fine.
Really?
They're like, okay, bye. I was like, wait, do I need to give you her name? They're like, no. Like,
wait, I thought you didn't get any drugs for your elbow.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Tyler, why didn't you kick him down there, bud?
Well, I asked for some, and they said, we'll get back to you. And then 7 days later, there was nothing. And then I got two missed calls saying, like, are you ever going to come get your prescription?
Really?
They never called me.
Did you get them then?
Yeah, Lauren got them for me. But all she did was walk and say, Tyler, and they just handed her a prescription thing. She walked out.
For the birthday? They love the birthday. Yeah.
No.
Like the birth date is what. Like
as if that's the secret. Like you can't figure out someone's.
Yeah, I know.
It's not on my Facebook or anything.
We used to bust people all the time with fake IDs at the improv. When we suspected it was the chick was using her sister's ID, we'd say, you know, look at their ID and go, what sign are you? And they go like, you got me. Signs? And they would just get freaked out because they didn't know what sign their sister or brother was.
They want to give it a shot. Just say cancer, Aquarius.
No, they weren't that smart.
Taurus.
Hey, you know
you
what?
Always say cancer, and then if they're like, no, Aries. You go, no,
that
I
does
have it. Cancer.
That surprises me.
That's rude.
That surprises me that they would actually give somebody else a prescription because that could be lawsuit friendly. But the one that bugs me the most, and I don't even know if this ties in one bit, but it just clicked in my head when you said the coffee thing, was whenever I bring my car somewhere and they're like, okay, just leave it. Keys in it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, with the keys in it? Mm-hmm. My car's just in a parking lot with the keys in it.
Yeah, they're probably insured.
No, they take the keys back to the little...
Very few. I've dropped my car off many times and they're like, just leave the keys in it. And I'm like, and I'm walking away from there, like looking at my car going, who does this? I do, apparently.
I had a really good friend who his brother employed me to help him steal a car off a lot.
And?
I refused, and he got it anyway. He still got the car back. And he just stripped it, took all the parts that he wanted for his car, and then he left the thing down the street.
Does his friend like young girls?
Ballsy move, that guy. But you know what I'm saying.
Can I tell you guys
about... It's not our fault we are genetically inclined.
Yes, and now most of us are evolved enough to, when we have context, be like, okay, that's a no-no.
Morality. Say that in our head, tie.
No, morality-wise, yes, because...
Yeah, I mean, we have... But what I'm saying is people, it's gone so far. It's gone to the point where people, like smart people you think you might respect, such as Mike and Drew... We'll say flat out, oh, absolutely not. 17 years and 11 months is disgusting. She disgusts me.
18 years in one day. Let me check it out.
Oh, yeah. Let me see that, Vag.
I had a situation happen to me with one of the sexiest, most attractive girls I've ever seen in my life. and I'm going to regret telling the story right now.
Continue.
I was 18 years old, mm-hmm. lived at home in San Diego, and we were at a party mm-hmm. on our street, mm-hmm. and all the kids were drinking because the parents were gone of whoever's house it was, and it was the younger class's party, like a year behind me. Mm-hmm. So I was there, like my younger brother was there, people his age were there, they were 16 or 17, and I remember the girl, her name was Donna, and she was strikingly beautiful and sexy, and I was in the jacuzzi.
She redhead?
No, she was cute blonde, and she was in the jacuzzi, and she was wearing like a knit bikini, and she was sitting on my foot.
Laura Prepon. And we've heard the story three
and
times.
And I've never been that horny in my life. And I was 18, and she was 17 or 16, and I left the party because I was like, this is too fucking
intense.
Much of a turn-on, and I'm not going to fool around with a 16 or 17-year-old, even though I'm only 18.
Should have checked local laws, bro. Sometimes if it's within 2 years, you're good
fine,
to go.
Bro. And I swear to God.
See, you're victimized. You're victimized by people overthinking it because you would have been fine.
I wouldn't have done it.
You would have been fine.
I didn't do it.
Hey, I was, why am I saying this? All right, I was dating this girl. This is off topic. I was dating this girl. She was in a hot tub, I remember, and she was telling me, you know, like, I used to be obsessed with history. When I was younger and I date girls, like, I would memorize the names of all the guys that they'd slept with and dated. And
I thought you meant history. I didn't know you mean, like, psycho stalker history.
Yeah, well, that's like, I was with them.
Yeah.
But like,
I get it.
It would really bother me.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it,
too.
Of it was the meth, I think, and the coke.
Yeah, I was just jealous. I was just a jealous guy.
And this one girl who, yes, what I was starting to say a second ago, she was 16, I was 19. It wasn't ideal. But she was one of these older souls, and she was sweet, and I really liked this girl a lot.
Is this the episode that's going to sink us? We're done after this?
I was 18, maybe. I don't know. I was a senior, and she was a freshman.
Okay.
It was the 90s.
This is the one that I was saving for my best friend. Like, he kept, like, on the weekends, he'd be like, we're going to go hang. And this is a guy, like, all the girls liked him. I'll put him on blast right now. Mark fucking Dobbs. Mark Dobbs was his name. You can probably look him up on Facebook. I'm sure he's got a bunch of pictures of his girlfriends. This is the guy that I saw him in the courthouse, and I knew that he had gotten married to my old girlfriend, a girl that I really liked.
This 16-year-old?
Yes.
Oh, man.
He ended up marrying her, right? And we were best friends. He
Are
and
they
I
still
were best
married?
Friends in high school. No, they got divorced. And actually, I ran into him in court because I was there supporting my sister, who was, like, you know, having something with her ex-boyfriend. That's a whole other story. But anyways, I was in court. I hadn't seen this guy in years. He's my old best friend, but I stopped being friends with him because he was mistreating the 16-year-old girl so bad. And then I ended up dating her for 3 years.
Okay.
Like, I actually fell for her. And then we broke up because she went back to him, like, when she went to college. And they got married and had kids. That's a small town story. I don't like it.
Seriously.
Mark fucking Dobbs. Anyway, one of the funniest guys I've ever met, but I think he's got a little sociopath in him. I think he's got a lot. This is the I remember, like, I would still hang out because I really liked her and her family and her mom, and I would hang out at her mom's salon.
Her 24-year-old mom?
Well, she was, like, 22 by now, right? 23? And, like, this was after we had broken up, and I'm telling a completely different story now. I'm sorry. I'm off course.
No,
but,
I'm in.
And the mom was, she was a hairstylist, right?
Mm-hmm.
She, like, I think she even had her own salon at one point. And she's saying, hey, Andy, did you hear Mark and Shannon are getting married? Which is very insensitive, right? But I was passing.
Since that was your
over.
Ex-girlfriend?
Yeah. And she knew that. She, you know, this is practically my mom. Like, I was in this girl's house all the time. Her stepdad would always catch me sleeping over and kick me out. And so I was like, Sharon, I heard it. She's the one who broke it to me. I didn't even know. I'm like, I knew they were, like, dating and stuff, but I'm like, oh, they're getting married, really? I'm like, oh. She's like, what's wrong, Andy? You don't look happy. And she's working on this old woman's hair. Well, she's telling me this old woman. She's
so you're just hanging out in the salon, talking
to still
talking
my
to her
hair.
Mom.
It was kind of like a family business, and her cousin used to cut my hair. Nikki would always cut my hair still. So I think I was seeing if Nikki was
Nikki
there.
Hot?
Yeah, they're all hot. I used to hang out in the salon all the time. There were just beautiful women everywhere. It was great. I was like a salon rat. I spent a couple years where I just hang out at the salon.
should we skateboard over there?
Salons are pretty great to hang out, and they all talk shit, and they all just watch each other in the mirrors. Oh, it's fucking great. It really is. It was like a reality show before reality shows. I knew all the shit on Mary, and Jessica hated Chelsea for this
reason.
How much
time did you spend there?
Lots. Lots. Yeah.
He had to keep those long golden locks in check.
Yeah. So Sharon's like, yeah, they're getting married. You don't look happy about that, Andy. And I don't know. Still to this day, Sharon's no longer with us. She's passed on. But to this day, I'm not sure why she did that, because she didn't dislike me. She always liked me. I don't know why she was kind of like. So I counter with, yeah, I'm not real happy about that, but I shouldn't really care because you're the one who's going to have to deal with, you know, picking up the broken pieces because Mark's, you know, not that good a guy. Shannon deserves much better.
Mm. Did you immediately feel terrible?
And as I'm saying this, she's getting more and more angry, and she's brushing this old lady's hair, and the old lady's hair is, like, snapping back. like she's getting really mad and taking it out on this poor old lady's head in front of me. It was very funny.
Do you think she brought up to him or her that you said that?
No. In fact, she was so upset that I said it. She said, well, Shannon's on her way here, and I don't think you should be here when she gets here, so I'd like you to leave. And it still hurts me to this day. It still breaks me
up.
Yeah,
that's kind of that's
that was the last time that I saw her. And, you know, she's like I said, her mom, I shouldn't be using real names. Anyways, now I definitely can't tell the original story because I said way too much. God damn it. And now she might hear about this like one day. She might be like, yeah, your old boyfriend, Anderson Cowan, he was talking about underage girls and how they're hot, and he was talking about you and your broken marriage with Mark. Oh, so I see Mark at the courthouse, right? And, you know, he's like, hey, we should hang out again. You know, it's been a long, long time and this and that. Here's my phone number. And we're in court. And he's like whispering to me. And the judge yells at us a couple times. I'm like, Mark, what are you? I feel like I'm back in school. And he goes, hey, you want to see a picture of my girl? Because he has a couple daughters with my ex-girlfriend, Shannon, right?
I'm like, they look exactly the same?
I'd love to. What's that?
They look exactly the same, sir?
The girls?
Yeah.
I don't know, because he shows me a picture, and it's some fucking, like, 20-year-old girl doing duck face. And I'm like, what? No. He's like, yeah, it's a new girl I'm dating. I'm like, you fucking Mark.
I see.
I thought you were going to show me your goddamn kids.
Yeah.
And you're showing me some.
Okay, so did I.
I know, right? Yeah. He's like, Shannon's on her way here. I'm like, yeah. He's like, you gonna hang out? I'm like, no, I'm not gonna fucking catch up with you and Shannon at your divorce proceedings. So weird.
That's such like an Always Sunny
meanwhile
thing.
My sister's ex-boyfriend, there was a custody battle. God, this sounds bad. He flew in from Oregon. He shows up with he gets dressed up. He wears a tucked in shirt, slacks, and suspenders. That's how you know it's a special time because he's wearing suspenders. His eyes like swollen shut from getting hit in the face with a bar. With like a crowbar or something.
As a responsible father does.
Shaved head, swollen eyes, suspenders.
That's kind of like a cholo thing a little bit, the suspenders.
He's white as can be. Mm. Oh, I'm airing dirty laundry. I got to stop.
Can I tell you guys about the sweet restaurant I went to in San Diego?
Yeah, where they have any 16-year-old waitresses?
Called the Turf Supper Club.
Yeah.
You heard about that place?
That sounds like 70s.
Sounds familiar.
It's super like late 50s, 60s, all like red vinyl booze.
Where was it?
This is San Diego.
Golden Hill.
Okay.
I think it's in Golden Hill.
There's a place called Golden Hill.
Mm-hmm. And pull up their website.
Golden Hills.
Type in Turf Supper Club. You order your steak or your salmon kebab or whatever. There's a communal grill.
Oh, I love that.
And you just go and throw it on there.
Really?
And just stand around, have a beer, shoot the shit with the people that are also cooking their garlic bread and steaks.
And it was good?
It was great.
Was it inexpensive?
$15 got me a salmon kebab and like a 8-ounce like sirloin steak thing.
That's
furious
great.
If we
that's
Mike
great.
And I were having this conversation. Furious.
Turf Supper Club. I've never heard of it.
Fures.
It was great. We should go.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
You know what? I do know where it is, and it's almost like 2 blocks away from what is now a Pavilions that was a grocery store I worked in when I was like 16.
The one where you bought the car by busting down boxes?
Where I was going to. It's on University Avenue, isn't it?
He cheated. He just looked it up.
Mm-hmm. I didn't look.
You didn't see it?
No, University is North Park.
Okay, you're right. Maybe that's not it that I'm thinking about.
But I saw Fart Barf in North Park on Saturday night.
How were they?
They were good. They had got shut down the night before. They'd only got to play 2 songs, and the fire marshal came and broke up their show.
That happens all the time to them.
Did they have a crowd down there?
Those fire. Those...
Yeah, it was packed. I could barely see them. I was in the back.
Is Monkey Mass or flammable? You must disperse.
All right, let's wrap this up because I got to get some sleep.
Well, I thought that was an insult. Like it was because of that bad joke at the end. I also feel like we should because you know why? Here's how my little brain works. Giovanni, super fan. How are you, buddy? Sent me an email recently, and nothing to do with this show. It was something completely unrelated. But he likes to like pepper in like nice little compliments and this mm-hmm. and that. Usually, that's Gio's style, right? You can attest to that.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's a great guy.
And one of the things that he peppered in just last week was the AD is not good unless it's at least 90 minutes. So I want to make sure that we don't do a 90-minute show because I don't want him to think for a second that I'm taking.
I
his
think
notes.
It's too late. I think we're at least at 90 now on this one.
No, right? Make it under. Cut some shit.
cut all that underage shit.
We're literally at an hour and 29 minutes.
Oh, perfect! Get it done! Good night, everybody. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good night. December 22nd.